Well, I sure appreciate the opportunity to get to preach this morning. I'll quickly agree with Brother David Schneider that it feels a little strange me being up here, some of you men being down there. Being a young preacher, you've been there, you've done that. There's obviously nothing that I can teach you. I asked God when Pastor asked me to preach, I said, what in the world am I going to preach to these guys? And just got to preach the Bible, amen. We're going to preach the Bible this morning. I'm going to, with the Lord's help. I told Brother Dawson last night, he asked me if I was ready, and I said, I am so ready to preach this message so I can stop working on it. If you've preached, you know the sermon's not done until you've preached it. And I've known for some time that what I was preaching, and I can't keep my hands off of it. I keep changing it. I keep tweaking it and working it. So looking forward to preaching what God's put on my heart this morning. I'll have you stand with me and turn to Jeremiah chapter number 23. Jeremiah chapter number 23. There's at least one benefit to being the last speaker. I don't know what it is, but there's got to be one. I know everybody's tired of sitting. Everybody's ready for lunch. And about three-fourths of my sermon has already been preached by somebody else before me, but I only brought one sermon, so we're going to preach it, all right? Jeremiah 23, I want to begin here in verse number 23. The Bible says, God speaking, am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill the earth, heaven and earth, saith the Lord? I have heard what the prophets said that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore, they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning one more time, God, to thank you for the preaching that has already gone on, the singing. God, how our hearts have been blessed from your word. God, encouraged and challenged from your word. But God, one more time, we need your help. God, we need to hear from you. I pray that you would help us with this passage of Scripture. God, speak to us, deal with us, encourage our hearts that we might serve you stronger and in a better way, walk with you closer, God, than we have. In these closing days, we ask in Christ's name, amen. You can be seated. Thank you. Jeremiah's ministry, as we know, would span some 40 and a half years, and there was a lot of dark years in those 40 and a half years for Jeremiah. The first 18 years of Jeremiah's ministry, we know, was under King Josiah, and if there was a time in the land of Judah that you'd want to be a preacher, well, that was the time to want to be a preacher. If you know the story there, Josiah comes on the scene. They find the book of the law in the house of God. And ultimately what happens is the word of God becomes the law of the land. And you find in those first 18 or so, 20 chapters of Jeremiah, not everybody liked it. But still, to be a prophet in that day, I mean, there wasn't a whole lot of persecution. There wasn't a whole lot of things in the way of physical harm. I mean, you had the backing of the king and of the politicians. I mean, I guess if there was a time to want to be a preacher, that would have been the time. But by the time we come to Jeremiah chapter number 23, we are nowhere close to a favorable condition for Jeremiah. There are no shortage of prophets and preachers that are preaching a false message, and there's no shortage of people that are glad to hear it. There is no friend, from Jeremiah's perspective, as we just heard from Brother David, he felt a lot like Elijah did. There wasn't a whole lot of people that were friendly toward his message. There was nobody else preaching the message that he was preaching. And yet we find that his call did not change. His call was the same as the day God called him under Josiah. Didn't matter who the king was. I just say, for us today, it doesn't matter who the president is. It doesn't matter what the society is saying. It doesn't matter what the people are requesting to hear. None of that matters. What matters is God has called us to preach his word, and that calling will never change, just as God's word will never change. So Jeremiah, under those first 18 years, things were great, but it's not that great anymore when we come to Jeremiah chapter number 23. In fact, this message that Jeremiah was given by God was so hated and so ridiculed and so despised and so rejected that Jeremiah even got to a point in his life, we read in chapter number 20, that he questioned whether it was even worth it to continue on anymore. We know that passage well. Jeremiah says, he got to the point, he said, I'm done. Nobody wants to hear it. I'm facing opposition. Nobody else is preaching this message. The politicians are against me. The people are against me. The people that I love and I'm trying to help are against me. They don't want to hear it either. What is the point anymore? And we find Jeremiah there in chapter 20 getting to that place. And I want to, as we come to Jeremiah chapter number 23, we find that God is taking to task these pseudo-prophets of Jeremiah's day. But as God takes them to task and as God reveals what's going on here, it's not God just blasting these prophets. The intent, the primary intent behind what God is saying here in Jeremiah 23 is to reassure Jeremiah that he is on the right side, to encourage Jeremiah that there is still a job God has for Jeremiah to do. Jeremiah chapter number 23 is God telling Jeremiah to hold the line. If there's a message we need in this day, it is hold the line. Not just for the preachers here this morning, certainly for the preachers. Preachers that'll stand in the pulpit and preach God's word faithfully and hold the line here. They do it because they desire for the people to whom they preach to in turn hold the line. Every Sunday as I teach the teen group back there, it's my desire as I open God's word not to just hold the line myself, but that they grow up holding the line themselves, that they understand that there's a world out there that hates their message, that hates their God, a society of so-called Christianity that doesn't want anything to do with their message and their God and their Bible. And yet God has a plan for their life, and it is that they hold the line. I appreciate so much you men that have been there, that have done it, that have blazed the trail and made a place for Brother David and I, that we have a place to preach, we have a book still to preach, and everybody has had somebody that has gone before them to prepare the way. We need to be busy preparing the next generation to hold the line. And God is telling Jeremiah here to hold the line. Notice what God tells Jeremiah about these prophets. And about this, the way the prophets have gone in Judah. First of all, in verses 23 through 25, God says that they have ignored their accountability to God. It says here, am I God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? Now, it was the mindset of the prophets of the day that they could do whatever it was that pleased them, and somehow God would be okay with that, or God would not see it, or God would not require it at their hand. But God's saying, make no mistake. I see what's going on. I hear what's going on. I'm watching these prophets in verse number 25. God says, I have heard what the prophets said. God was listening to their sermons. Isn't that a sobering thought this morning? But God is saying to Jeremiah, Jeremiah, I want you to recognize about these prophets that they have done their best to ignore the fact that they are accountable to me, to escape their accountability to me. And then God says in verse 26 and 27 that these prophets, in ignoring their accountability to God, had forsaken God's agenda to pursue their own agenda. Notice it says here, how long shall this be in the heart of the prophets? God's going to reveal what is in these prophets' hearts. He says the heart of these prophets that prophesy lies. Yea, they are the prophets of the deceit. Notice the wording, of their own heart. Verse 27, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams. Notice these prophets are unconcerned about what's in the heart of God. These prophets are unconcerned about the things that God is concerned about. They've got their own agenda, and they have forsaken God's agenda to pursue their own. God says in verse number 1 of chapter number 23, he reminds Jeremiah, he says, this is my pasture. In verse number 27, he says, these are my people. And yet these prophets were in God's pasture, preaching to God's people and leading them away from God. Says there that they caused the people to forget the name of God. What a disgrace. Those that should be uplifting the name of God, those that should be promoting the name of God, are preaching a message that are causing people to forget the name of God. These prophets had ignored their accountability to God. They had forsaken God's agenda to pursue their own. But they had replaced God's true message with their own message. In verse number 30, notice with me. Therefore, behold, God says, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. They were like their father, the devil, that when the word of God was planted in the hearts of the people, he comes and he steals it away and he takes it away with a false message. They stole the words of God, the Lord says. Verse number 31, behold, I'm against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. Behold, I am against the prophets that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies. And God says, and by their lightness. We're to understand that that means their message was a message of vanity. It was an empty message. And God said of these prophets in verse number 30 or 32 there, it says, that they shall not profit this people. What a disgrace and what a condition God's land was in because of these preachers. And God is reminding Jeremiah and showing Jeremiah this condition, that these men had pushed aside the word of God. They had replaced it with a message of vanity, and they've said, this is what God wants from you. And this is what God is saying to us. I know I don't have to tell you this, but it wasn't just a problem in Jeremiah's day. If there ever was a day that so-called preachers and ministers of the Word of God have put off and ignored their accountability to the one who has called them, have pursued their own agenda instead of God's agenda, and are preaching a message that is contrary to what thus saith the Lord truly says, it is the day in which you and I are living. And it certainly was the case in Jeremiah's day. If there was ever a day that God needed men that would stand and fill the pulpit and open the Word of God and preach it with conviction and preach it with power and preach it with the Holy Spirit of God in their life and a walk with God that was real, if there was ever a day that God needed men like that, it is today. We need preachers. Talking to some of these men that are starting churches and have started churches, boy, it encourages my heart. It is still the job of God's church to start churches. It is still in God's plan to call men to preach. There's no doubt that some of you young men in this room right now, you know God is calling you to preach. Some of you may not even know it now, but God is calling you. God is calling men. We need men who are going to stand and preach the Word of God. By the way, we need ladies. Not to stand and preach the Word of God, but are going to marry these men. and stand by them and encourage them and be the wife that God wants them to be. Understand that God is telling Jeremiah, it is a bad day, it is a dark day in my land and amongst my people. But Jeremiah, your call is the same, your job is the same. Hold the line. Hold the line, Jeremiah. Now, the greatest danger is not that we take Baptist off our sign and become a Catholic church or whatever, go to some extreme. The greatest danger is that we drift. We drift. A little bit here and a little bit there. Listen, we're people. We're dust. Jeremiah was a person. I think sometimes we forget to understand that these Bible people were real people. The same things that they feared, the same things that the same hurts they had, the hurts we have. The failures that we often have were the same failures they had. Remember, just a few short chapters before this, Jeremiah is saying, I'm not doing it anymore. I can't go on. It's not worth it. The fruit is too little. I don't see what it's benefiting. Well, it'd be easy. Sometimes it's not that we take the Bible, like we heard last night, and throw it away. Sometimes it's that there's parts of God's Word that we choose to ignore because it makes it easier. Sometimes it's something about my life that God has revealed to me through His Word that I choose to ignore because it makes it easier. Understand this morning, that is drifting. It's not that we have gone into full-blown apostasy. It's not that we have done something like that. It's not that we've stopped preaching a right gospel. But we start to change our convictions, our standards. We start to loosen up what the Word of God teaches. We start to not expect of our people what God expects of them. Hey, we stop expecting of ourselves what God expects of us. Drifting. Hold the line, Jeremiah. Don't drift. I know your message is not popular. Don't change it. Amen. The Word of God has never been popular. God's way has never been popular. But Jeremiah, don't drift. Hold the line. Sometimes, I know for me, I believe for you as well, sometimes we just need reminded of what God has called us to do. Just a simple reminder of just how simple our call is. While it is profound, the simplicity of our call is something we need reminded of. If Jeremiah was going to be the man that God had called him to be, and if he was going to hold the line, God was going to show him, and I will look at three things this morning from this passage, that God said to Jeremiah, hold the line in this area. And they coincide what these very men that were calling themselves prophets were doing. We said that these prophets had ignored their accountability to God. God is saying to Jeremiah, be God's man. Be God's man. If we are going to be men of God this morning, we first must be God's men. It is a mentality and a mindset that I belong to Him. This message is not my own. The people to whom I preach are not my own. This church is not my own. All that I have, my call, is not my own. It belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm accountable to Him. Be God's man. Notice that this doctrine of God's omnipresence, while it would be a thorn in the flesh to those that would refuse to do right, it is a source of comfort to God's man. Verse number 23, am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? He's saying to Jeremiah, there's nowhere, Jeremiah, you're going to go in the ministry that I'm not with you. They can't put you in a dark enough dungeon. They can't put you in a deep enough hole, Jeremiah, that I'm not there with you, backing you up, supporting you when you're doing your job, when you're fulfilling your call, Jeremiah. He says in verse 24, Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? He says, Jeremiah, I see what you're going through. I see what those people are saying about you. I see what you're going through for my name's sake, Jeremiah. Don't miss the fact, Jeremiah, that I see what you're going through. Those things do not escape the eye of God. Jeremiah, I have heard what the prophet said. I mentioned it already, but God was listening to the sermons. It wasn't just the sermons of the false prophets God was hearing. Make no mistake, he was listening to Jeremiah. And he was listening to Jeremiah stay by the stuff and hold the line in a day that most people would not have held the line. We would be wise to understand as preachers, as Sunday school teachers, as children's ministers, as fathers, as mothers. We would be wise to understand that every time we open the Word of God and present it to somebody else, God is taking note. As preachers this morning, I'll apply it to us this morning, as we preach the Word of God, I will not stand before you all someday. I'm going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not going to stand before you preachers, as great of men as you are. I'm not going to stand before you members of Bible Baptist Church, as much as I love and respect you. I will not give an account to you. But I'm going to stand before God Almighty, who called me to preach this book. And he's going to look at me and he's going to say, did you preach it right? God is listening to the sermons. God's listening to the preaching. God's looking at how his men are handling his word. Be God's man, Jeremiah. I believe that the ministry of a preacher is one that is a calling, a divine calling. I don't know what you believe this morning, but I believe that the ministry is not something that we have just chosen over some other occupation, but it is something that God has divinely called us to. We didn't get up some morning and flip a coin to see if we were going to be a plumber or a preacher. No, God so divinely impressed it upon our hearts that like Paul, woe is unto me if I preach not. We could do nothing else. Listen, let's be reminded this morning. We're accountable to him. Amen. If he called us, he's given us a book. He's going to judge us according to it. We are responsible to him, and he's encouraging Jeremiah to toe the line, to hold the line in this area of be God's man. Stay accountable to God. Understand that he's listening to everything you do. He's watching every step you take, Jeremiah. God sees that you're being faithful. Stay there. Doesn't matter that the rest of the world is not. Doesn't matter that the rest of the prophets have gone off the rails. You stay true, Jeremiah. Stay God's man. The prophets in verse number 25 we see were preaching a message that was conformed to their culture. Whatever the people wanted to hear was the message that these prophets would preach. We need to understand this morning that when what the people want to hear is different than what God wants the people to hear, we are always God's man first. When what I want to do in the ministry is different than what God wants me to do in the ministry, I'm God's man first. Listen, you members of Bible Baptist Church, let's apply it to us, to you. You get up in the morning, you plan your day. God has something different for you. You young people plan your life. You've got it all laid out. You know what you're going to do with your life. God has a different plan. Hey, when God's plan and God's desire for your life is different than yours, we are always, always, always God's people first. We heard it this morning that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. We belong to Him. We are bought with a price and we are not our own. It specifically applies in this context to preachers. We've got a message. It is not to change based upon what society demands, based upon what other people demand, what other preachers are preaching. Doesn't matter. Preach the Word of God because we're God's man first. Jeremiah was the John the Baptist of his day, one voice crying in the wilderness. Jeremiah at times expresses his loneliness, expresses the fact that he felt that there was nobody else, but God is reminding him here that Jeremiah, when there's nobody else, there's still God. And you stay accountable to Him. Be God's man. Hebrews 6:10 says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward His name." Aren't you glad this morning that God's keeping a record? Hey, if you're being faithful to the Lord, you're glad that God's keeping a record. If you're not being faithful to the Lord, if you're not holding the line, well, we might be like those other prophets that are a little uneasy with that idea. Amen. But when we're walking right, we're living for God. Well, we're glad that God's keeping record, that He's not going to forget our labor of love for Him. Stay God's man, Jeremiah, is what God's saying. Verse number 26 and 27, God says to Jeremiah, you need to hold the line in this area too. Don't drift, Jeremiah. Stick to God's agenda. Stick to God's agenda. Listen, while these other prophets had an agenda of their own and a message of their own, Jeremiah, God has an agenda for you. God has a plan for you. And what that is, while these prophets were causing people to forget the name of God, God's agenda for God's preacher is to glorify, to magnify, to uplift, and to promote the name of God. Our all-consuming motive as preachers must be to magnify the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That ought to be the goal of every sermon. That ought to be the goal of every Sunday school class. As parents, that ought to be the goal to your children, to magnify the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because that is what's going to make a difference in their life. These prophets had preached a message from their own heart. They had spoken their own dreams, but God's telling Jeremiah, Jeremiah, don't you go that way. Don't you come up with your own agenda. You follow God's agenda. If our agenda is in line with God's, we will be seeking to direct people's thoughts to God. Isn't it a shame today that you can go into so many churches and hear a sermon preached, a so-called sermon preached, so little about Christ? Nothing about the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing about the gospel. Nothing about the convictions of the Word of God. You can listen to a sermon and it sounds more like a cooking show. God help us. Listen, it's a shame that we can walk into our churches today and they look more like coffee shops than they do the house of prayer. God help us that we can have our special music. I'm thankful for the music here at Bible Baptist Church and at many of your men's churches that I've been to and I've heard. Thank God for godly music. But listen, when we've gotten to a point that our music ministry is about glorifying and uplifting the one who's doing the singing or the one who's playing the instrument more than it is about glorifying God, it's an agenda. And it's not God's agenda. God's saying to Jeremiah, stick to God's agenda. While these prophets were causing people to forget God, he said, Jeremiah, your job is to cause people to know God, to seek God. The Lord Jesus Christ said in John chapter 12 and verse 32, "And I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto myself." There will be, I'm sure you have faced it, I have, we will continue to as long as we're in this flesh, there will be a temptation and a pressure placed upon us by this world to drift in our message. But as long as our message remains the Lord Jesus Christ and Him glorified and Him magnified and Him lifted up, brethren, keep preaching it. It'll make all the difference. It'll save souls. It'll change lives. It'll make people what they ought to be. When Jesus Christ is lifted up, He will draw all men unto Himself. You know, your music ministry might be a flop, but if you're preaching the Lord Jesus Christ, that's enough. Hey, you might not have a perfect building. You may not be a perfect speaker. I'm an example of that this morning. But if we are uplifting the Lord Jesus Christ, we can't go wrong. And he's saying to Jeremiah, stick to God's agenda. There is too much today promotion of self, promotion of our ministries, promotion of our programs, promotion of our church, promotion of our fellowships, promotion of all these things. We need to get back to promoting the name of our God. Promote God. Promoting God may not get you the biggest crowd, but it'll get you the crowd that God wants you to have. Jeremiah didn't have a big crowd. In fact, he had a big old crowd of zero. And yet God's telling him, you're doing it right. Don't change what you're doing. Amen. Stick with it, Jeremiah. Hey, success is not measured by popularity. Success is not measured by how many people are saying amen in the pews. Success is not measured, Jeremiah, by those that will come alongside you and put their arm around you. Is that nice? Yes, it's nice. Praise God that we've got men that we can fellowship with and encourage and be encouraged by. But when we don't, what do? We drift? We change what we're doing in order to get it? God says, stick by it. Amen. Stick by the word. Stick by God's agenda. We're to be God's men. We're to stick by God's agenda. But then thirdly, God says to Jeremiah, hold the line in this area. Don't drift, Jeremiah. Preach the word. Preach the word. Verse number 28, God says, the prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. Jeremiah, don't you worry about those guys. They're out there telling their dreams. They're out there telling their lies. They're out there promoting their thing. Don't get worked up over that, Jeremiah. Notice the contrast. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. Jeremiah, if you've got the word of God, then you preach it and you preach it straight. Don't you worry about what everybody else is preaching. You preach my word straight. And he continues this. And he says there, what is the chaff to the wheat? God is saying that there is no comparison to God's word being preached. It is so far superior to any other message out there. Jeremiah, don't you worry about them prophets. In verse number 32, we looked at it that God said that these prophets were not going to profit his people. Hey, if God's people are going to be helped, there can be no substitute for Bible preaching. We've called this the Ministry of the Word Conference. We've heard about it already. We heard about it last night. We heard about it this morning. We've got to stick to preaching the Word of God. We've got to stick to saying what God says in His Word. Not like these men were doing, saying He said, when it was really them saying. Reading a couple verses out of the Bible, and then running off the rails with your own agenda. But speak my word, God says, faithfully, is what God is saying here. Administering the word of God to people's lives is not a part of our ministry. It is the ministry. And while there are other things we do in the ministry, there is nothing that supersedes the preaching of God's word. Because the word of God is what is going to change people's lives. The seed of the word of God getting into the hearts of people is what's going to change their thinking and change their desires and make their marriages right and help them raise their children right and make our churches strong. The word of God is what does that. Nothing that you can say and nothing that I can say can replace the word of God. There can be no substitute for Bible preaching. God said it is my word in verse 28. He said, speak my word faithfully. Listen, it's not our job to make something believable. It's not our job to make something palatable. It's not our job to make something easy that God didn't make easy or hard that God that did not make hard. It is our job as preachers to simply stand up and say what God said. Here's the Bible. Here's what it says, and here's what God means for your life and for my life. The Word of God is our message. God did not pin the responsibility or the results upon Jeremiah. His command to Jeremiah was not to be successful, but rather to be faithful. True success in God's eyes is when you and I are faithful, no matter what the results seem to be to you and I. Speak my word faithfully. That word faithfully means according to truth, first of all. That deals with the rightly dividing, the absence of a personal agenda. Speak it faithfully. But it also means consistently. It means that if God tarries and gives you health, you'll still be preaching the same thing 30 years from now that you're preaching today, because it's God's word and God's word never changes. Speak my word faithfully. When preached faithfully, God's word cannot be matched. It is powerful and it makes a difference. God says, what is the chaff to the wheat? That chopped straw, that trash that blows away with the wind, it's carried away with the wind, God says. What is that in comparison to the fruit that God produces with his word? Is not my word like as a fire, he says here? The fire and the hammer, those pictures that God gives of his word. Jeremiah would know very well about this fire. We could read in chapter number 20 that when Jeremiah got to the point that he was ready to quit, he said, but I could not, because the word of God burned in my heart. Listen, the word of God cannot burn in our people's hearts. It cannot make a difference in our hearts, preachers, until it burns in our heart. God says to Jeremiah, my word will make a difference. My word will produce results. But it's got to burn in you, Jeremiah. Lastly, he says here in verse 32 that my word changes lives. While the message of the false prophets of the day, the average message of the day, was not, my word will profit, my word will benefit, my word will make a difference. I want you to turn back just real quickly to Jeremiah chapter number 20. Notice verse number 7. We need to understand Jeremiah needed this encouragement from God. He needed reminded from God that he had a job. He needed a reminder and encouragement from God to hold the line. Remember his call. Jeremiah chapter 20, notice verse number 7. O Lord, Jeremiah says, thou hast deceived me and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I and hast prevailed. I'm in derision daily. Notice these words carefully. This is what Jeremiah is revealing is in his heart. He says, everyone mocketh me. Now we just heard from Brother David, a man in a very similar position, another one of God's preachers, another one of God's men that got to a point like he felt like there was nobody else. He felt like every church he looked at, so to speak, was dropping the banner and dropping the old King James Bible and dropping the standards and going off the rails. Every Christian he looked at was going off into immorality and into sin. Sometimes we can get to feeling that way. But just like we heard from Brother Schneider, God said, don't think that for a minute. There's fruit that you don't know about. There's people that you don't know about. Jeremiah, in his mind, there was nobody else. Everybody mocketh me, Jeremiah says. Really, Jeremiah, everybody? Think about it for a minute. What about Ebed-Melech, the eunuch that came and pulled you out of that hole? They had a walk with God. Where do you think Ebed-Melech got that? Wasn't from these other guys. Wasn't from those other prophets that was telling their own dreams. Let me tell you where Ebed-Melech got that conviction, got that walk with God, and that faith in Jehovah God. He got it from listening to a preacher named Jeremiah, who held the line when it seemed like nobody else was. Jeremiah, really, everybody? What about Daniel? What about Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego? Young men that were taken captive from this very place, taken into the land of Babylon. Maybe Jeremiah didn't even know about them. But let me tell you, they stood in a nation that was godless. They held the line in a nation where nothing would have compelled them to do so other than conviction. And they did so because there was a preacher named Jeremiah that taught them how to stand in a day when nobody else was standing. When everybody else was bowing to the idol. When everybody else is preaching another message. When everybody else is saying this direction is okay. When everybody else is saying you don't have to call yourself Baptist. When everybody else is saying you don't have to maintain these standards or these convictions. When everybody else is saying a little bit of the NIV is okay or a little bit of these other translations are okay. When everybody else is doing it, standing when nobody else is. They learned that from a prophet, from a preacher who held the line. Even though to him it wasn't making much of a difference. Never underestimate, preacher, the power of God's word and a stand upon it. Never underestimate what God can do if you will hold the line and stay true to the word of God. Our directive to preach the word of God is not contingent upon its acceptance in society. It is rather a standing order that will continue and remain no matter what the climate of our day. It's no different for Jeremiah, no different for Elijah, no different for Peter and Paul, no different for you and I. We still have the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. It's preserved right here in my King James Bible, and it is everything I need. It is all, brethren, that pertains to life and godliness, right here in the covers of this book. Hold the line, God is saying to Jeremiah. There's a story told about Napoleon and one of his generals, General Doucet. And he was one of the most effective generals that Napoleon ever had. But there was a secret to his success. See, General Doucet was actually demoted by the French army and kicked out because his parents had left, they had migrated, and he was seen to be treasonous in that sense. And they had demoted him, but he was so effective in the battlefield that Napoleon called him to himself to be his personal general that would serve next to him. One day, on a battlefield that wasn't going right, Napoleon had sent General Doucet around the right flank, and the river had swelled, and it had cut off General Doucet and his line. They were not able to get to the battle. The battle was going badly. Napoleon was being beat terribly because Doucet and his men were unable to get there. Toward the end of the day, General Doucet and his men in his line are coming up to Napoleon, and the day is almost lost. General Doucet had picked up an orphan boy off the streets of Paris one day, trained him to be his drummer. And as you know, they would use the drum to call out the commands in the battle. And as they approached, Napoleon cries above the sound of the battle to this drummer boy, "Beat the retreat!" And the boy stood there motionless. Again, Napoleon cried out to this boy, "Beat the retreat!" The boy, gripping his sticks, took a step forward and said, "Sir, I don't know how. General Doucet never taught me that beat." He said, "But I can beat a charge." He said, "Oh, I can beat a charge that'll cause the dead to fall in line. Shall I beat it here?" Napoleon says to General Doucet, says, "What shall we do? We are beaten." General Doucet says, "Beat them." He turns to his drummer and he says, "Beat the charge of Lodi and the pyramids. And that drummer begins to beat that charge, and Napoleon's line goes upon the Austrians and pushes the first line back upon the second, and the second upon the third, and the third upon the fourth, and they defeat the enemy. The key to General Dusay's success was there was no plan B. There is no plan B. There is one way, and it is victory. For you and I that are preachers of the Word of God, members of Bible Baptist Church, there is one way. It is the way of God's Word, and it is victory. Hold the line. No matter how dark the day gets, hold the line. Let's stand this morning.